Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. You know, we've seen the headlines when a ministry leader or nonprofit leader or a politician makes a huge moral mistake, and the media, they pounce all over it, right? But what led to the moral mistake? I mean, we're all human. We all succumb to some weaknesses at some point in time, but that is what accountability is for. But in ministry and in nonprofits, etc., many times the board of directors, they don't want to be peeking into the personal life of the person they've chosen to run the organization. Well, today is part two and the conclusion of a great interview that is confronting these issues head on. Brian Krieger is the author of the book, The Courageous Ask, A Proactive Approach to Prevent the Fall of Christian Nonprofit Leaders. Brian was the founder of a great nonprofit health clinic in a major metropolitan city who lost his identity basically to the organization and then, well, let's say fell from grace. His calling is to share his story and what he's learned and observed in others, all for the purpose of helping board of directors and others in various leadership positions to prevent their leaders from succumbing to these temptations. Brian's book, The Courageous Ask, A Proactive Approach to Prevent the Fall of Christian Nonprofit Leaders, is a great read. It'll be a great resource for your leadership teams from churches to businesses. If you missed any of the prior episode, you need to go back and catch up, as we covered a lot of great information, and we just don't have the time to replay any of it today. So if you missed it, go back and listen. Amen? Now, let's jump back into the interview with Brian Krieger.
But knowing this could happen to me, you, and others, I mean, we see news or sports of, you know, scandals happening all the time. And the bigger the name, the more the headlines. What can we as individuals do to prevent these types of actions?
Relationship. And one of the things I really hit hard in the book, if our organization is led by a board of directors, a board of directors needs to start a conversation about this. This is a major issue, and they can't, because you know what? Many boards of directors will not, and believe me, in the book, as you know, I expand this to the whole community and everybody around the leader. But if we're going to just talk organizationally, a leadership fall, while it is the leader's fall, ultimately comes back to the leader, it ends up in the board's lap.
Yeah.
So any board that says that they shouldn't be monitoring, Christian board, shouldn't be monitoring the private life of their leader is making a huge, huge mistake. And I talk about this change that needs to take place in terms of the hiring of the executive. Okay. When an executive is hired, the executive sends in their resume. Okay. So the board or whatever committee pulls together these resumes, they look at them, they pull four or five of them, whatever the number is, and they say, we want to interview these people. Well, why aren't they just hiring them off the resume? And all the skills that they bring, the education, the life experiences, the work experiences, all those things, they go beyond that. Mm-hmm. They call them in for an interview. So what are they doing in the interview? They're measuring, is there an application? Can you see an application of the things they found on the resume? Mm-hmm. Will the leader be able to create or maintain the culture that the board wants in order to accomplish the mission in the organization? Is the leader, the potential leader of the organization, do they have the character that they will be able to stay solid and consistent and follow the mission and the guidance and the guidelines? Do they have the humility to be able to do those things and to live under leadership of the board? All these things, they're personal. Mm-hmm. They're personal things. in a Christian organization, you are certainly asking somebody about their spiritual life.
Yeah.
Amen. You're asking them, you know, now some people would say you can't ask those questions. Well, guess what? In a Christian organization, you are asking those questions.
Amen.
These are very personal. So why do most board of directors stop monitoring the personal once the executive is hired?
Mm. Good question. Amen.
They do. They say that's none of our business. But when you hired them, it was. And guess what? If they fall, that's happening. It's going to fall in your lap.
Yeah.
You're going to go through some difficult times. Yeah. So, you know, the board CEO relationship is so important, and it's got to go beyond facts and figures. It's got to go into the sticky stuff, the muck of a personal life of an Christian executive. It's got to go beyond that. And people in general don't want to do that. Yeah. It's so much easier to monitor and to evaluate a Christian leader based on a job description. It's so much easier on KPIs, key performance indicators.
Yeah, just check the box.
And all those things.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. It's easy.
Yep.
But who really wants to get into the muck of a personal life?
Yeah.
So it's kind of it's just the easiest way to go.
Amen. Amen. Back on when your board of directors asked you that question, what response did they play? Did that even register that they had failed in some way, failed you in some way for what had happened?
Not at all. Bob, I'm telling you, I couldn't even answer the question. I looked at this board member and I said, I have no idea. I never even gave it a thought. But, you know, over the next few years, and they were a rough couple of years, so I'm just trying to get traction, you know, in my life, because it just kind of, you know, my actions took away the direction of my whole life, and I got fired. You know, people, you know, describe that in different ways, but the fact is I was not allowed to be there anymore. And this thing that I founded and sacrificed tremendously was gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still doing, by the way, it's still doing fabulous. They have 3,000 patients, 13,000 visits. It's doing tremendous work. And yeah. I want to throw this plug in because I want everybody to know that tells me that it was God's thing.
Yeah.
Because I put them through it. I really put them through it. So there should be no question in anybody's mind that this was God's vision for what was going on.
Amen.
But anyway, I had no idea. I never even thought about it.
Yeah.
But it led me down a road that took me to this, Amen. To writing this book.
There you go.
I mean,
you share one story. Later. You share one story in your book about a CEO of a multi-million-dollar corporation who had done a great job for a lot of years, well respected in the community, did a lot of charity work and all that. Suddenly found himself involved with some kind of charges for something that happened to a participant at a camp he sponsored. And that spread like wildfire. He didn't know what was going to go to happen. And the board of directors had him take a leave of absence, if I remember the story correctly, and come over and they talked with him at home, just, you know, even paid him until the case was resolved. In your book, in this story, you share that this event caused him to become even more loyal to the board and to
right.
the company. Can you share how and why a situation like that actually cemented the bond of loyalty?
Oh, well, this is a guy. It was, I think, a $10 million nonprofit. And he had charges, like you said. I mean, frankly, I'm impressed with the detail that you gave there from the book. The thing is, in that organization, they already had that relationship. They were proactive. He felt like he, you know, I talk about in the book how a leader needs to know that the board is for them, you know, in quotes, not just as a CEO or the leader of an organization. They need to know that they're for them as an individual, especially in a Christian organization. So as we all continue to walk out our Christian faith. But so they had already established that relationship. But, you know, haven't we seen it go other directions?
Oh, yeah.
where they jump out in front of the press, they denounce what the leader did, and they break off that relationship. They're terminated or suspended without pay. And I mean, we've seen it happen. But this was a deal where they had a different kind of relationship.
Yeah.
They weren't just concerned about the organization. They were also concerned about their leader. A couple of their board members have sat in that person's living room crying with them, tearing up and the whole bit, because it was heartbreaking. Yeah. So anyway, it ended up those charges were dismissed. It all went away. But I talk about in the book what would have happened if the board would have gone the other direction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really, done the things that a lot of organizations don't. All I'm saying is, hey, build that relationship with your consciously, not just, you know, consciously build that relationship with your CEO, because you don't know what's coming down the road.
Amen.
So now this person is like, you want to talk about a committed person to that organization and to that mission? Holy moly. It's hard to even talk to him about anything that is even challenging with the organization, because he's so committed to that organization. But it all started with conscious relationships with the board. And
Amen.
So,
well, as you've progressed on and you've done speaking and consulting, how have you been able to broach this subject with business and ministry professionals and their boards of directors?
Wow. Well, I got to tell you, Bob, it's not hard. The hard part is helping them to recognize it could happen in their organization. The fact that it's happening it's out there. I mean, there's this no question. But so many times an organization just believes there it could not happen to them. That's why in the book I spend some time just talking about, you know, these leaders that, you know, everybody thought they were the next thing to God, right there next to God.
Yeah.
And they weren't. Yeah. They were having struggles, but nobody was paying attention.
Yeah, amen.
So, you know, I talk about how the community has a big role in that too, because the community then feeds information to the board, and you know, having that solid relationship with the leader, it also can tell them earlier on that something's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, it can show those early indicators. But how do I broach it?
Yeah.
You know, I share these stories of other people, and I take them down those roads, and it's going to end up in the lap of the board.
Yeah.
So
let's go over some of the signs that indicate something might be wrong. Things that say a board of directors needs to be watching for. You outline some of that in the book.
I hit some of those earlier. I mean, when I look at when I look at a leader and I see their priorities changing, but it all, again, it starts with the relationship. If you don't have the relationship, you're not even going to see any of this stuff. Adrenaline addiction. I mean, how many times have we seen a leader who continues to start new programs or buy new equipment because they're addicted to the look in their donors' eyes just to announce a new thing? That again causes that loneliness and isolation, because they're so addicted to that they continue to move in the direction of all these new things. And I'm telling you, it is, if you haven't experienced it, it is a true addiction. Yeah. That look in somebody's eyes. And what happens is then they start a new program, they don't get that to excellence, but then they're on to the next program. Yeah. And then that other program fails. So right there is an indicator. I've seen that happen numerous times.
Yep.
The shift in the priorities, the credit absorption.
Mm.
I talked about that a little bit earlier. Mm. Everything was God's truly in the heart of the leader. And somebody said they saw this in me.
Mm.
And that's why one of the reasons I listed it. One time we had a breakfast and they said, you know, Brian, you talk different in this breakfast than you did in previous breakfasts.
Mm.
And of course, I could justify the whole thing, you know, why I was doing that. I was raising money. I was doing this, doing that. But they saw something. But that's where it ended. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It ended there. I justified everything. And that's it. Until I fell, then they come and they want to talk about it. Loss of personal identity. Ask a leader how they're doing. See if they answer with how they're doing or how the organization's doing.
Amen. Yeah.
That is a huge one.
Amen.
There's several of those. Listening deficit. You know, I talk about the speed bump. Do they speed bump the stuff that the advice or the people that are trying to be courageous, do they speed bump them? I mean, think about what a speed bump is. Speed bump causes damage. Speed bump causes you to slow down, hopefully. And if you don't slow down, you're going to have damage to your car eventually. And I'll relate that to people coming to you, challenging you, people that you trust. Do we speed bump them? Do we slow down, or do we just keep speeding right over top of them? And then eventually damage is caused. You know, I go into that a little more thorough in the book, but yeah, are there not listening anymore?
Are there things that may not be observable by the board of directors, but someone who's close, maybe assistants or associates, may observe?
Oh, well, how about just public? How about community members? You know, just community members, just seeing you at the grocery store in a discussion that you might have at the grocery store, or a look. I mean, we've had those, we've all had somebody look at us in an uncomfortable way in the past. Mm-hmm. All of us have had it. And you know, a look shouldn't cause us to go off the deep end and challenge and do all those things, but it is an indicator. So sometimes I can remember way back, I needed increased accountability. This is probably 25 years ago. So I started going to a men's group that was right next. Because one of the things that happens in leadership, and I hate to say it, but kind of, well, in leadership is people look up to you, and it's easy to fall for those inappropriate relationships. Yeah. And I could see that possibility in my own life. So probably 25 years ago, I started to go to men's group that was right by the store I was in, because I wanted that increased accountability of those men.
Amen.
You know, and those extent, you know, these things start with, let's say, affairs. They start with an extended look, maybe a fantasy, and I'm not going to go too deep into it, but they all start somewhere.
Yeah.
It's like it's like an avalanche. I talk about it in the book. It starts with something really, really small, and it just needs that one catalyst to make it go off.
Amen.
But it's been going on for a year.
Amen.
You know, those little things going on inside your head that just need that one little catalyst. Well, you need people around you that are going to notice that. And sometimes it's just out in the community. That's why I talk a lot about the community.
Amen. And speaking of the community, how can someone approach a Christian leader, especially a ministry leader, pastor, director, or otherwise, with their concerns if they're out in the community?
Well, you know, sometimes they can't do that. I talk about a church. Let's just use a church. You know, an individual, number one, needs to have the courage to say something. Okay. Usually in a church, an individual, a parishioner or whatever, has friends that are on the board, or most times it has to go through a board. But you know what? It comes back to those relationships. I talk a lot about in the book about friendships, and we'll stick with the church. How many pastors feel like they truly have a friend?
Right. Exactly.
Most don't. And the statistics prove it out. I have pastors say, you know, I'll have parishioners come up and talk to me parishioners come up to me and talk to me about the 4th of July picnic they're having, but they don't invite me. They'll talk about it, but because once the leader or the pastor is invited, all the conversations change.
Yep.
And that's an unfortunate thing.
That is so true.
That is truly unfortunate.
Yep.
But how many need a friend? I had one leader told me that they had a board member come on the board. They weren't an accountant. They weren't a lawyer. They weren't a community. You know, all these things that we try to get on our boards. And the person that was voted onto the board comes up to the leader and says, look, I'm on the board to be your soul care person. That's the only reason I'm here, is I want to be your soul care person, because I know how hard it is to do that. I had another person tell me that her parents had a personal mission, a family mission, that whatever church they were in, they were going to become friends with the pastor.
Amen.
That was their mission. That was it.
Amen.
They didn't want to be involved in the Sunday suppers. They didn't want to be involved in the this group or that group. Their mission was to become the pastor's friend.
That's good. Amen.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And that's just a community member.
Yeah. Amen.
So that's another thing that I encourage in the book, The Courageous Ask, is we all have to be looking for that opportunities. And you don't have to have an official position. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be the vice president or the or a board member or a person on the faculty or whatever. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be that person. The Christian leaders are dying, are looking for somebody to, again, love them, accept them, even though they have a lot of junk.
Amen. Amen. You talk a lot, about how the fall was an anomaly, or was it caused by something more serious? And you use a story about snow in Disney World as an example. Yeah. Can you explain that for us? Because I thought that was...
Well, there were two times that I could find that it snowed in Disney World. And I'm talking about in Florida, not mm-hmm. Disneyland, although I have no idea about Disneyland. But anyway, there were two times. And I pulled some things from the Floridian, or I forget what it is. It's referenced in the book. But it happened two times. So my point is, who thinks it's going to snow in Orlando?
Right.
Nobody. It doesn't snow in Orlando. So you have these anomalies. And my point, I had two main points in the book, was what did Disney World do? You think they went out and bought snow plows and parkas for all their employees and made shelters for people to shelter if they have a big snowstorm and all these things? Did they overreact? No, they didn't. But I mean, it happened. It did snow twice, but they didn't do that. So the other point is, it's really a question, is was this thing an anomaly in your life? And I had to look back personally and say, this was not an anomaly. Mm. Okay. Because if it's an anomaly, it truly is an anomaly. You got some work to do, but it's not to the level. You're not going out buying snow plows and parkas. You definitely have some work to do. But if it wasn't an anomaly, you've really got some work to do. Mm-hmm. And I really had some work to do because I could see a pattern in my life. It wasn't about the emotional affair. It was about my spiritual state of affairs. Mm-hmm. And I really had some work to do. And praise God, I feel like God delivered something to me just the Sunday morning on the way to church, a little piece of direction that I've really been searching for. Yeah. And if I didn't have the sensitivity to that, if I was still in the deluded state, which I don't know if you can be deluded and semi-deluded and whatever, if there's different rankings for delusion, but I was at a lower level of delusion for many years, and then it eclipsed, and that catalyst happened. Yeah. So it wasn't an anomaly. So yeah. we have to measure, and we got to know that, and we got to bring other people in. If we just stick with our own thinking, and I go through a couple of psychological principles in the book, because we are human. We do have these tendencies. We're always going to justify everything. So sometimes we need other people. Yeah. Well, I can't even, sometimes isn't even the proper word. Every time we need other people Amen. Helping us.
Amen. Brian, this is also interesting. I just keep going on because the book is applicable more than most people know or understand, the things happening all around us today, not just in ministry, but as CEOs of nonprofits and even corporations. How can someone obtain a copy of your book, The Courageous Ask, Proactive Approach to Prevent the Fall of Christian Nonprofit Leaders? Is it on Amazon?
Oh, yeah, you can get it on Amazon. Anywhere you buy Barnes & Noble, anywhere you buy books online, you can get it. If you're going to do a bulk purchase, like you want to buy it for your whole board or something like that, I recommend going to my website. You'll get it a little cheaper there.
Okay.
But yeah, anywhere you buy it online.
Okay.
And my website is Brian Krieger.
That's what I was going to ask.
.com.
Yep. So someone wanted
I spell Brian properly for those of you out there. BrianKrieger.com.
I don't know where they get that Y from sometimes. I don't know why they put that in.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, me either. but if someone had a question, just go to your website. Do you have an email you want to share? How can they get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Brian@BrianKrieger.com. You can go to my website. I put out a weekly blog. You can sign up for it there. And when you sign up for my blog, you get the introduction of the book. You get the appendix, which tells my story. And you get an article, the five early indicators of a potential leadership fall.
Amen. I'll put links, all that down in the show notes below. Folks, Brian Krieger is not, to use a phrase we talked about earlier, an anomaly. What happened to him can and does happen more often than you realize it.
That's a fact.
But the better method would be to prevent the fall from grace in the first place. I mean, many times the leader or CEO or pastor, whatever, is shocked that it's happened and that they're trying to fix things without anyone knowing about it. And these things are embarrassing, humbling, detrimental to so many people on so many different levels, families, businesses, associates, congregations, children, you name it. And that's the purpose of Brian's book, The Courageous Ask. You need to get a copy of this book right now today. Go down to the show notes to order Brian Krieger's book, The Courageous Ask, while you're thinking about it right now. Hey, because if you know the devil better than I do sometimes, that he's going to try and distract you and make you forget all about it. You know, in fact, you need to go down and order two or three copies. Give them out to your board of directors, your church, leadership, your pastor. You never know how just one tip from Brian Krieger could be identified in a leader and prevented these things from happening simply because you purchased this book. Amen. Go down the show notes right now. Order your copy of The Courageous Ask, A Proactive Approach to Prevent the Fall of Christian Nonprofit Leaders. Brian, I want to thank you, not just for coming on the program today, but for exposing the fallacies of what's really happening and how these things can be avoided. I appreciate the fact that you're open and honest, and I wish you the best with this book.
Oh, Bob, thank you so much. I love what you do, and I so appreciate you taking guys like me who aren't necessarily the academics, but want to be real.
Amen.
Rubber meets the road, and that's what people need. So I appreciate that you've opened up your show to that type of person.
Amen. Appreciate that, folks. That's all the time we have for today. For Brian Krieger, myself, Pastor Bob, remind you: be blessed.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.